This is The Vocal Minority.
Hello, everyone. My name is Morgan Freeman. It's my great pleasure to introduce you to the two best guys in the podcast game. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Come on this journey with the boys and make sure to follow, comment, download, and like. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go grab a couple of cold pops and remind Andy Dufresne that the world's best podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, is just about to start. Good day.
The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Good day to you, Mr. Freeman, and glad you're listening. Thank you for the endorsement. It's The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast.
I noticed Morgan Freeman was in like two different Super Bowl ads. And a few actors appear in multiple ads. Are we on a short list of actors right now?
Well, he's just one of the good ones, dude. I mean, he's a national treasure, Steve.
Yes. Somebody recently said that I had a voice like Morgan Freeman.
They did?
Yes, which I don't think I deserve that credit, but I guess it's the low thing.
To the caliber or that you sound like Morgan Freeman?
I don't know what the difference is, but I would assume that means I'm at his caliber, obviously.
No, but I mean, like, you guys both have just golden voices, or you, if you called me, I wouldn't know if Morgan Freeman were on the phone or you.
I think they were just saying it's comparable in the deep, smooth, low voice thing.
Who said that, dude?
Kennedy's daughter.
Okay.
I can't remember how that even came up, but something about, you know, Steve was talking in his Morgan Freeman voice, and it was like, oh, like, just his normal voice then, is what you're referring to.
It's a nice compliment, dude. I mean, he's got one of the best in the biz, Steve.
Oh, there you go. So we're here to share all of this stuff. It's a global podcast, after all. You can find our website, thevocalminority.net, for those of you surfing websites. Otherwise, the socials, the real party, right?
Yeah. Go check us out. We're big on TikTok. We're big on MySpace. We're big on Reddit. We're big on Blue Sky. We're pretty much big everywhere we go, and we have you to thank for that. Thanks for all the downloads, the shares, the likes, and thanks for being here today.
We're big in Belgium.
We're huge in Belgium. I don't even know if big is a large enough word.
Do you know the reference, though?
Is that Turn It Up to 11?
No, close. Another iconic movie based out of Seattle. That should limit.
Oh, Singles, yeah.
Yes, classic. That was a great joke in there where the Pearl Jam band, Citizen Dick, is getting interviewed. And they're interviewing Matt Dillon, the singer of the band, who was modeled after Eddie Vedder. And it's such a classic up-and-coming rock band thing to say. Like, yeah, we're big in Europe right now. We got a single breaking in Belgium.
Yeah. So funny, dude.
Episode number two for this week. This is usually where we try to focus more on the pop culture and human interest sides of things. And I came across a couple of articles about relationships. So shall we talk about sex, baby? Should we talk about you and me? Should we talk about all the things?
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things.
But maybe it takes two to make a thing go right.
Unless you're alone and masturbating with your five sisters.
Right.
I mean, your five fingers, sorry.
It can usually be more fun when someone's joining you, but it doesn't have to be. And sometimes much less effort, quite frankly.
Yeah.
There was a line in a old South Normal song, my prior rock band days. The line was, she can make me come, but I'd rather do it myself. And that was a lyricist who was very burnt out on women at the time. But I always thought there's a little bit of logic to that, you know?
Oh, sometimes it's just faster. You know, sometimes you don't want to deal with everything that comes with a proper session, you know? Yeah. Are you in the mood to be a giver or you just want to be a taker? If you just want to be a taker, most of the time it's probably a good idea just to masturbate.
You know, I think in relationships, there is occasionally that window where it's just like, yeah, it's quicker and easier. I'm not going to bother her or whatever. But
yeah,
more so in the dating world, it is so much hassle and effort to ever get to that first intimate experience where sometimes on some dates, it's best just to pay the check, go home. She can make you come, but it's easier to do it yourself and just avoid all of the other entanglement that you're getting into because you're now interacting with a human being, you know?
I completely can understand where you're coming from. So I watched you go through everything you had to right. to just have lunch with a person. So
exactly. So anyways, I came across this article that men are answering explicit questions directly from women. And some of these responses, maybe we agree with, maybe we don't. So I'm curious, A, what explicit questions women are asking, and B, what does the average man answer? And do we agree or do we disagree? Because clearly we're above average.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, if you want to know what the average guy would say, I don't know if we can find that out today.
Right, exactly. So let's see what a couple of podcasting geniuses think about all of this. All right, so the first explicit question that women are asking men, what do you seek in foreplay? I'll skim through a couple answers for you here. First, Joe guy here said a legitimate interest on her part is what we're seeking during foreplay. Anything can happen, and I'm fine with it as long as I know she's doing it because she likes it. Another answer was giving you pleasure, making you want it, teasing, oral foreplay, etc. And another answer was what I want you to do to me and what I want from you when I'm doing things to you is what men say they are seeking during foreplay.
This is a tough one, dude, because, well, maybe things have changed and evolved a little bit, but I remember as a young man, I wasn't vocal about, like, what I like. I mean, obviously, you could find out, but having a conversation of saying, like, this is, I really love it when you do this, or and asking her, like, what do you like? Like, you know, give me the roadmap to what's going on. And I'll navigate some of it myself. But, like, having these conversations, I didn't do that in my 20s. Didn't do it in my 30s, dude.
Have you started now?
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like it, hopefully things have evolved. Or maybe it's just a thing that comes with age. Like, yeah, tell me what gets you ticking.
And do you have some sort of minimum threshold? Are there certain things in the Reynolds house that have become norm? Is there some ground rules set up for foreplay?
No, I don't think there's ground rules. I don't think there's constraints that way. But I definitely know what she likes and she knows what I like, you know. And not to say that we don't ever do other things than that, but those are always kind of part of the deal.
Yeah.
You know.
See, I think foreplay, first of all, should not be lopsided. Everyone, like Christmas, you know, you give, you receive. Like, it should be a little spread out equally. On one level, I kind of reject the premise of foreplay because I think it's all the play. It doesn't have to be the before play or the during or the after play. Like, guys, if you're not doing proper what would be considered foreplay, you're setting yourself up to fail for the rest. You got to prime the pump. You can't just make penetration the whole act. Otherwise, that's almost never going to be enough. So I look at quote-unquote foreplay as just it's part of the entire meal that's being served up that night. You can't skip the appetizers and expect to just have a good meal and then skip the dessert too.
They've said for years, you know, and you know, if it's cold outside, like you should let your car warm up for 10 minutes before you drive. Like it'll just make the experience better on the car. It'll be easier. So you're getting each other warmed up, don't you think?
Yes. You're making it easier for everybody. There are times in a relationship where you're just like quickie, or let's just kind of get to it, and there can be some fun to that. But for the most part, foreplay is time and effort well invested if you want to have a good Google review for yourself for the overall picture of a relationship.
What's your average foreplay time? Like, you don't have to give me a specific number every time, but like you feel like there should be at least 10, 20 minutes of it?
Yeah, the length definitely varies based on the mood of the night or whatever. But yeah, there should be some minimal effort in the 5 to 10 minute range. It's like you said with the car, like it just makes sense to get things a little more warmed up. Okay. And I find the results are significantly better when you let the motor warm up a little. So yeah, you can mix that up, whether it's Ornal, or, you know, digit play, dirty talk, massaging, like setting the mood with the right music. Like this is all part of foreplay, but it's really part of the overall painting.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, dude. Well, I was just starting to think about things, you know, and I thought again, dude, I've told you this before. I want to bring dry humping back into my relationship, and I haven't ever brought it up as like, hey, let's dry hump a little bit. And I don't even know if I would want it once I got it. I'm just imagining, you know, as a young man dry humping. So would it be the same? Do you dry hump?
First of all, I think there are certain sexual acts where if you put them on the shelf, they just become more enticing because it never happens. And then you're right. As soon as it becomes part of the regular rotation, now who cares anymore? So that could be something like that for you. Do I actually dry hump? I mean, a little, I mean, there's a little grinding that can go on with the deal, a little makeout session. Is it truly like clothes on clothes? Sometimes, I guess, but that's a limited window.
All right. I don't know if I should be wanting it so bad. You know, it may be like sex in a stall shower for me. Like, it sounds nice, but like, it's probably not as good as I think it is.
You got to be careful with that grinding, too. I got kicked in the nuts a couple of weeks back, and it did not feel good.
You did? You took a shot to the boys, huh?
Yeah. There was some grinding going on, and, you know, her legs start, you know, kind of getting a little, you know, fast and furious. And, yeah, she kneed me in the nuts pretty damn good. It did not completely kill the mood, but I haven't taken a good shot to the nuts in many, many years, like probably going back to, like, high school or something. But, yeah, she got me good. And that's where her grinding and excitement, you know, went a little too far.
You recouped?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to let that take me down for the night, but wow. I had that like nauseous in the stomach feeling, and I pointed out like, hold on. Yeah. Just whap me pretty damn good there. Let's just breathe for a second, please.
Wow. I'm proud of you, dude. I don't know if I could have carried on. It may have been man down for the night.
I don't think women truly understand how painful of an experience that is.
No.
And women, I would just say, I don't know if this really equates, but can you imagine if your ovaries were just dangling outside your body and someone just whapped them, let alone kick them or something? Like, I'm pretty sure that would hurt you.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything that I need to take away from the pain you experience from childbirth or whatever it is. But to truly know how much pain that is, like, you know, sometimes I'll be talking. I talk with my hands a lot. And sometimes when I drop my hands, there's been times where I just, you know, just whack my nut a little with my finger. Right. And it sends me bent over, dude.
Yeah.
And like you said, a nauseous stomach. Oh, like it's painful.
It is kryptonite for men, and that does not mean anyone should just be doing it half-ass. Like, don't just whap your guy in the nuts because you're irritated with him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And guys know, like in a bar fight or something, the nuts better be one of the last, you know, ditch efforts you're going to make because you're getting your ass kicked. Otherwise, there's mutual respect. We don't start kicking or punching each other in the nuts.
No, that you should be close to being murdered before you right. hit somebody in the nuts.
It's the nuclear option. You don't start there, but if you have to,
right.
go for it. But how about this? Speaking of women not understanding what balls are about, I had a woman early in my dating career here in the post-divorce era try to convince me that blue balls are not a real thing. And I got the sense that this was some argument she had had with her ex or whatever, but I mentioned something about, like, we were fooling around. I don't remember why it didn't go anywhere, but I said something about, like, oh, now I'm going to have blue balls. And she went off that blue balls aren't a real thing.
Based on what?
I don't know, her assessment as somebody who doesn't have them. And as I told her, only one of us here in this discussion has balls, so I'm here to tell you, as the local expert on the topic, that it's definitely a real thing. And then I even had to Google it, and it is scientifically a proven real thing. Like, the blood flow increases, things swell, and if you're not releasing all of that, yeah, they start to ache. It doesn't last a month or anything, but for the next hour or two, yeah, you're gonna be in pain.
And it's not pain like if you got hit in the nuts. It's just a little uncomfortable, you know.
It's as if your nuts are just being not so gently squeezed for the next hour. Like, not crushed, but they're right. being squeezed. Doesn't feel yeah. good, you know? Yeah.
Let's check and make sure you're right.
That's a fact.
Okay, it's factual, dude.
Thank you. Moving on to explicit questions that women are asking their men. Does eye contact actually make a difference when we're giving head? Okay. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. I got thoughts on it. You wanted me to express them?
Yes. Otherwise, listen, this is boring.
Listen, eye contact during head is not something that I don't need you to be looking at me the whole time, but I like a little look once in a while. Let's look each other in the souls and realize what you're doing to me right now. Like, I don't know if it's important every time, but like, I like that.
First of all, logistically, for that poor woman, that's difficult to be bending your neck up like that and making any sort of sustained eye contact.
Sure. I just need a little glance into my eye nuggets.
Right. I have noticed over my career the occasional brief eye connection during that act. And I've wondered, like, are you checking on me to see if I'm, you know, enjoying it or awake, or is there some intimacy? Because I've never registered that as an act of intimacy. Like when you're actually on top of each other, there's can be some eye contact that can be, you know, meaningful. But during that act, that's nothing that's ever registered that I want more of or that I even really took note of, that it's like some sort of act of intimacy.
Yeah, I don't expect it, but if it happens, you know, I feel nice about it. I guess everyone's a little different.
So here's what the men on this survey answered. One guy said that, you know, does eye contact make a difference? He says, yes, until I remember that I look like a thumb from that angle.
I'm not even thinking about what I look like at that moment in time.
Now I will be. Because I'll tell you, photography 101, selfies always come up better when the camera's on a down angle looking at you.
Yeah.
The camera angle looking up at you is always unflattering. I don't care if you're George Clooney, Cindy Crawford, or whatever. Like, the up angle never really looks good. So now that I think about it, don't look at me from that angle. That can't look good.
Wow. You're interested in that at that moment?
Now I am. Now that I've registered this thought. Now I'm going to start angling my chin correctly or something. So you're not seeing the worst angle of me as you're doing the best thing.
You've got more mental capacity than I have because I figured this, you know what? You and I, not you and me, but me and my wife, we're together, we're naked, like everything that's happening here. I'm not looking, oh, she bent that way and she doesn't look flattering from that angle. Like, it's just all love to me, and I would assume it's the same. I don't have any time to think about that.
I feel like that goes back to the Seinfeld debate about good ugly versus bad ugly. And then essentially, men are always bad ugly because we're utilitarian. You know, women are objects of beauty. Going back to the Renaissance age, they've always been the subject of sculptures and artwork. You know, a woman bent over is literally a piece of art. A man bent over, like, oh, good God, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I feel like that's coming from a man, though. Like, of course, you know, a straight man. Like, of course a woman's body is beautiful, you know? But, and I understand the comparison. Like, a woman's body is, to me, more beautiful. But your girlfriend has to like your body.
Yeah, but are there unflattering angles? Because Elaine on Seinfeld agreed with Jerry that, no, I don't want to see my man walking around the apartment naked. For the guy, that was the dream come true. Jerry was so happy. My girlfriend walks around naked. Then he tried it, and it did not go over well. And Elaine agreed, there are certain angles on a man nobody needs to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't think that I have the capacity to care.
Okay. The next question, I think this gets to what we were just kind of discussing. Women want to know, does it feel good when a woman grinds? Because it feels hella good for me, but I think it matters for the guy. Like, this gets into the difference of anatomy. Like, you know, women, their little pleasure buttons on the outside. So if they're grinding up on something, I could see why that would feel good. But yeah, I don't know. You just said you wanted more dry humping. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's the actual act of dry humping that excites me. It excites me because it's like the prelude to what's going to happen, and the longer we go at each other without full access, that maybe that's exciting to me, you know. But yeah, sometimes I think grinding can feel good if it's in the right place. It has to be the right placement. If you're just grinding, like, I like the fact that you're excited, but it may not physically be doing anything for me.
I concur with that last statement. I like that you're getting all wound up, and that's cool. But A, like we just discussed, on the male parts hanging outside there, they're sensitive. So you got to grind on that thing correctly or you're going to cause more harm than good.
Yeah.
And also, the male version of the clitoris would be underneath. So that's pressed up and protected. So if you're grinding from the outside, you're not hitting that spot. So does it feel good? No.
Listen, there was a time in my life, and every young man's life, that I could lay on the couch wrong and pop a boner, you know, like when I was a little kid. So maybe it could feel all right, but it's not something that you should go to try, like, oh, I know he loves this, you know.
I think that's probably where gay men do better because they understand each other's anatomy better. You know, for a woman, you got to grind very precisely right for that to feel good. Otherwise, you're going to hurt me. So,
yeah.
But you know, I've experienced some women grinding where, yeah, I can tell they're into it. I've had the, you know, humping your leg bit thing, basically, like they're a dog or something, where they're grinding their parts on your, you know, your thigh or something as you're making out. And yeah, I get turned on by the fact that that's turning you on. But yeah. No, it really doesn't, per se, do anything for me.
You know, that's kind of a funny one, dude, because, you know, like you said, we're just not being hit in our erogenous zone. But that brings up nipples and something I've never really understood about nipples. Some people like their nipples touched. I am not one of those people. Like it more feels like an uncle is tickling me than anything slightly romantic.
Right. Well, I have noticed that every woman is different on that topic. Some don't want their nipples played with at all. Others, they get very much turned on by it. And others, I mean, geez, the nipple clamps exist for a reason. There are some women that want those things like wrenched on, like you're trying to open a rusted door lock or something. Like,
sometimes that just wants to happen, dude. But I don't want my nipples touched. And I don't want them licked. I just don't. You can ignore my nipples altogether.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with the nuts down there, that's a no-go zone. There's no amount of pressure, anything like that, that ever feels good. And I don't know. Apparently, based on some porn, I may be in the minority. Some dudes in these videos just love their balls being yanked on like a yo-yo. Like, that sounds like the worst thing in the world to me.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I, you know what, if you're down there doing the deed for me, like, you don't have to pay any attention to those.
Yes. The nipple thing is slightly different. Like, I'm not into it per se, but I've developed this thing where if pleasure and pain go together, then pain can be somehow like exciting. So if you're going to chew on me or do a little nipple twist, if you're doing other pleasureful things, pleasure and pain, good. Just pain? No. Like, that should not be part of foreplay. Like, if things aren't wound up and already, you just start biting me or twisting things? Like, hell no. But if you're doing dual action, if there's stimulation, pleasure and pain.
That's exciting to you.
Yeah. So there's something there. The guy in this survey, by the way, as far as grinding, he said, doesn't do much for me. That's not something I'm into.
Okay.
Another guy said, it's not particularly as stimulating as thrusting. But if I actually put my energy into feeling what's going on, it feels awesome. But he's talking about what we're saying. Like, it feels cool because I know how much she's into it.
Right. Yep.
Next question. Explicit questions from women. Is the sex different with a woman you don't want to see again versus a woman that you do? In other words, what level does intimacy play in how exciting sex is? This speaks to what kind of guy you're asking this question to, if you ask me.
I can't answer the question, you know.
You can answer it. What's your answer?
I can't answer it, dude. I've never had sex with someone one time. I've never had a one-night stand.
I see. So intimacy obviously is paramount for you then.
Yeah, I think it is, for sure.
Listen, I concur. If you're looking for the bad guys out there, women, a guy that would answer the question to say that sex is more exciting if there's no intimacy, that is not the guy to take home to mom. If you're looking for some one-night fling, then I guess that's the perfect guy for you. But no, that is not a relationship guy there whatsoever.
I don't know. I feel like such an old piece of shit to say this, dude. But sex has changed since I was a young man, you know.
How so?
It's, well, I'm not saying that people didn't have one-night stands when I was in, you know, high school, college years, whatever, but it has seemed that it was always more important to the people that I knew. Like, you were experiencing an intimate act, and it seems more transactional these days, where it's like, you know what, you've got needs, I've got needs, you know, let's get down, get funky, and play with the monkey.
That's funny. I wonder if it's more prevalent or just social media and society's put a little more attention on it, because obviously one night stands been around forever. But personally speaking, I've told women this before, and this goes back to high school. Dana Carvey, Wayne and Garth, Dana Carvey, Saturday Night Live.
Hans and Franz.
Yes. So he did a stand-up special. I think it aired on MTV or something in the late 80s. And he did this joke that resonated with me. And as I've gotten into my actual life of dating and having partners, like, I realized how spot on accurate he was. I don't remember the punchline of the joke, but the premise was that he would rather have sex a million times with one woman than to have sex a million times with a million women.
Hmm.
In other words, his joke was kind of find one woman that you can just bang the snot of to do every dirty thing you can ever think of, but do it with one woman, not every little different thing with a million different women.
Sure.
And I have found that to be spot on true. I mean, first of all, as I've also had to explain to some women, the first is the worst. With me, the first time we're going to have sex is probably going to be the worst. Because I need some level of comfort and feeling okay, you know?
Yeah, I might even throw out my first three, maybe four performances as not my best work.
The top five don't jive. That would be
that's right.
First five, yeah. No, I mean, I there's sex becomes so much better when you're comfortable and you have some understanding of each other. So, well, no, one night stands don't work. And you, of course, know the only time I've ever actually truly had a one-night stand when I was in my early 20s in Seattle and I hooked up with a listener who had been calling us forever and flirting. And I decided, like, you know what? Hollywood has taught me that one-night stands are awesome, right? I mean, it's what you always hear about. So I decided I'm going to try this. I am just going to go have a one-night stand. I made it clear with that woman ahead of time. This is one and done. At the end of the night, she even tried, like, boy, can we do this again? Like, nope, one and done.
Yeah, you stuck to your guns.
And then what happened after that one night stand?
Well, I just remember you felt like a dirty pile of shit. I mean, you weren't real happy with yourself.
No, I went home and took a shower and curled up in the fetal position. Like, I am unclean. I am so dirty. Wash all of this off of me. Like, I never wanted to do that again. I accidentally had a one night stand a few years later with someone who I thought we were starting something. Turns out she just wanted to bang the DJ. I got the reverse thing done to me. I suppose that was karma.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, I've never had a one-night stand, and that's never been the goal besides that one thing. And no, the more the better. I agree with Dana Carvey. Find one good woman, bang the snot out of her every way you can possibly come up with.
But that doesn't completely answer the question you asked, because could you do the same thing with somebody you were an F-buddy? You know, if we're just F buddies, like, is that okay? You're comfortable with them, but it's not intimate?
Well, I guess I've never experienced that. If you had a true friend with benefit, I guess you're saying, like, okay, you'd get the first couple of times out of your under the way, and then you'd be more comfortable together. But I don't, just trying to envision that, no, I don't think that would still work. Because sex to me is not just a physical act. Having some of that passion, that eye contact, that, you know, that just, raw passion going back and forth, that is tied to intimacy and affection and all that. So doing it without it goes back to what I said earlier. It would be easier just to do it alone if you're just looking to bust a nut and be done.
Yep. I think that doesn't make me want to ball up in the shower when I'm done with myself, you know. So it's probably a better way to handle it.
And you're not wasting a bunch of money. So yeah.
There you go. Win-win.
Let's see what some of these guys said here, though. So the first guy said, just making out with someone I love is better than sex with a stranger.
Okay.
Guy number two says, yes, I'm much bolder with a woman that I know I'll never see again. Red flag, women. Red flag right there.
See, there's something to be said for that, because you are looking for someone to treat like a dirty whore. And you know what? If she's into that, whatever, I guess. But yeah, that is no way to find a guy, you know, a good person. I can't imagine would want to leave someone and treat someone disrespectfully because it gets me off, you know. Right.
That's what I say, major red flag. You see, Nick and I are the marrying type. The guy like that should just be avoided at all costs. So
that's what you're trying to teach your son, dude. I mean, in all honesty, I don't say that to be funny. Like, you know, you have talks with your son about how to treat people just in general, whoever you end up with.
Absolutely. No. You want quality, not quantity. Okay. Next intimate question the women are asking men. Does intense focus on career or hobbies negatively affect your sex drive? That's a weird one. Does intense focus on your career or hobbies negatively affect your sex drive?
I understand what it's saying now. Okay. Yes. I'm not saying yes for me. I do understand what they're saying, though. If you maybe things are stressful at work right now, does that take your focus away from, you know, your sex drive? Mm-hmm. If maybe you're unemployed, you're trying to find a job or whatever it could be, does that take the thoughts away from you and make your sex drive go down?
In most scenarios, it makes it go up. Like, if there's misery going on in my life, I need something good. So knowing that, yeah, sex and intimacy with my person is a little island, a little oasis in the sea of other garbage.
Yeah.
There may be some just days at a time where it's just a really bad day, whether work stressed you out or, you know, your aunt whatever died or something. Like, yeah, there are exceptions where life can bring you down a notch, but as a general rule, over the course of weeks or months, like, those should be different categories.
Okay. So you're good at separation is what you're saying.
Yeah, or not shooting myself in the foot. Like, yeah, if I've had a miserable day, like, I want something good to look forward to at the
end. You don't want to wallow in your misery.
No.
Okay.
I may tell her, like, you know, you may need to do a little more effort on this one, but no, sex is a good, positive, healthy, vibrant thing, so one at a time, here and there, you know, life may pull you down a notch, but no. For the most part, that's what I look forward to at the end of a crappy day.
Okay. That's awesome, dude. You are ready to go in and score the touchdown most times. I think that there are, I'm not saying a lot of people that would say, oh, I'm not going to do it at all. Like, I don't have any sex drive because I'm worried about my job. But I think that it is harder for some people to get into the frame of mind they need to be in when they've got so much weighing on them.
Yeah. I think that's where the foreplay comes in handy. Like, you do need sort of ease into it. There are times you can't just jump into it. Like, both of your heads are just not where they need to be.
Have you ever had sex while you were thinking about something? You know, if you did have a problem, you were like, oh, I'll battle through it and, you know, we'll go have sex. And then all you're doing is thinking about it? Or does it always take your mind off your problems and issues?
My mind is always contemplating everything in this world, probably to my detriment sometimes. There are times where it works to my advantage where I come up with something, but there are times during anything, this talk show, during sex, where I may catch my mind wandering, but as soon as I realize, like, I'm thinking about what I got to do tomorrow, like, I'm like, focus, you can worry about that later. Like,
get back on track.
Yeah. And not every time. Like, there's times where I'm definitely so focused, whether it's the show or sex or whatever, like, I have no choice but to be, you know, omni-focused, but no, yeah. My brain drifts. That's why I have trouble reading. Like, my brain drifts sometimes, but I try to get right back on track. It's not an insult to me or to my partner, but it's how my brain works.
Sure. It's just part of who you are. And I'm glad you're going in for the loving most times. 98% of the time you're up for loving.
Yes. I will tell you, the only times of late that I've said, like, we kind of need a night off, it's because we've gone too hard the previous several nights. And it's just like, let's just catch our breath a little just for one night.
Yeah. Get rehydrated.
Yes. But what did the men in this survey say? Does intense focus on career or hobbies negatively affect your sex drive? Answer one, yes. If I'm focused on something else or stressed about work, then sex becomes an afterthought. That can drag on for months, this guy says.
Wow.
Get therapy, man. Answer two, though, 100%. And with traditional stereotypes for gender roles, it just adds to the pressure of the guy being the one to initiate. It gives this guy anxiety when he's exhausted.
Interesting.
And then guy number three, my brother from another mother, he says, no, for me, there's always time for sex. It improves my mood and it makes it easier for me to focus. Not to mention intimacy is important in one's life. So bachelor number three, I agree with you.
But you're in the minority.
Apparently. Yeah. Two out of three said, yeah. I mean, honestly, guys, that makes me a little sad for you. I know we all have problems, but hey, don't let it drag you down like that. Would you not go to a Dave Matthews concert because you're depressed? Would you not go ride a quad or a dirt bike because you're depressed? Like, those are the things I want to do when I am depressed.
I think you're lucky for that, because I do think that there are times that, you know what, when I have been most depressed in my life, like, yeah, sometimes I would skip Dave Matthews. I don't want to have fun. And maybe this is an issue for a lot of people. Obviously, the majority is that, you know, I need to wallow in this for a minute. And I'll get out of it, but I need to feel this right now. I don't want to go out. I don't want to ride my dirt bike. I just want to be here and be miserable. you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and saying, yeah, I'm going to go have fun and this is going to kind of fix what I'm going through, is a different mindset than some people have. And it's a good one. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's different than Well, maybe the majority. Who knows? We need a larger study.
Well, feel free to reply in the comment section, everyone. Next question that women are asking men. This is a funny one. To you and I, the way the male anatomy works has obviously been a lifelong basic knowledge because we have our own stuff to play with and experiment with and see how things react. But women are often quite infatuated with how the male penis does work. So this question was, when a boner happens, does your penis slowly come up or does it just shoot up right away?
Like instant?
So when you get a, when you're starting to get a chub, does it, is it a slow evolution or does it just straight at it?
I mean, not for me, dude. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it takes 5 minutes, but I'm saying, you know, depending on what I'm witnessing or going through, you know, it takes a minute to get big, completely big, you know, sometimes it takes a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean, results vary, right?
Yeah.
For the most part, it's an evolution. It usually doesn't go from 0 to 60 in 1.2 seconds, like a Corvette or something. But there are times where if everything aligns correctly, some mental attitude, they touch you just right, like it may shoot up pretty damn quickly, like within a matter of seconds. But
yeah,
I think for the most part, it's science. Like the blood starts flowing, it starts to build capacity. Like nine times out of 10, it's an evolution. It's not just an immediate springing up.
It doesn't feel like an animal balloon, you know, like a clown blowing up an animal balloon, like just instantaneous. But yeah, maybe sometimes you get done in 10 seconds.
See, that's a good metaphor. Because I would say that if you're blowing up a balloon manually with your mouth, that's most of the time. You put a little air, a little more air, a little more air, all of a sudden, and then now it's full, versus putting it on a helium tank and just and it just shoots right up.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. Hey, what about morning wood? You still experience that in your near 49 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's pretty rare. It doesn't happen as often as it used to in my early life. And maybe that's because I'm getting proper workouts, you know, outside of my sleep, but it's rare, but once every few months, I would say.
Oh, wow. That infrequently, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. I don't get them every morning. I don't wake up with a boner, but there are, I would say, maybe once a week, you know, I'll wake up with something that I'm proud of, you know, that is like, ooh, Washington Monument, you know.
And do you suggest taking advantage of it?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't think either Rachel or I are the hugest fans of morning sex. And sometimes it's fine, but, you know, I don't know if it's just, I would love a toothbrush, you know, or just, I'd love a few things to happen.
Right.
I'm not saying that's all the time, but most of the time, yeah, like I'd like to brush my teeth. I'd like for you to brush yours and, you know, we can reconvene.
It can be tough when you're both rolling out of bed with bedhead and you got, you know, pillow sheet impressions on your forehead or whatever. And
yeah,
your breath stinks. And if the blinds are open, it's just totally 100% well-lit room. Like, yeah, those situations can be difficult. But
yeah,
I would say the vast majority of the time, I prefer sex later in the day and with proper lighting and all that stuff. But I'm not opposed to, you know, jumping on the train right away in the morning. And you know, I found some outdoor play to become more exciting later in life here. So that's certainly well lit. May not be first thing in the morning, but there are times where that can be a lot of fun for sure.
Outdoor, not backdoor. Outdoor.
I mean, backdoor is a different topic, but no, outdoor. Whether it's on a balcony or I don't know if I'm supposed to narrow this down, but it was always a fantasy to have sex out in the middle of nowhere, like bent over the dirt bike. And I will just say that that has been checked off my list, and I found that to be very enjoyable.
You were bent over your dirt bike?
I suppose it could work that way, but no. I talk about riding out to a middle of nowhere with a woman and, yeah, bending her over the dirt bike on top of a mountain with the breeze and the sun shining and the animals watching on like Cinderella or Snow White or something, you know?
It's funny, dude, as this country becomes more and more depressed, we see more depression, you know. A lot of people are saying, like, you just need to get grounded. You need to have your feet touch the grass. And it is something that you're saying. I mean, they kind of roll hand in hand. Like, you are really feeling at one with the earth. You're an animal.
Yes. There is something very primal about it. And there's something mildly exciting about the fact that you could be caught, but I always want to be in a situation where that's like 1 in 100. Like, what are the odds someone's going to stumble across us in the middle of the woods or something? But the fact that it theoretically could happen, there's something a little exciting about that.
Excites you. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, indeed. I think we kind of already answered this one, but it's funny that this was a question that women were asking men, especially in this scenario, because it's kind of odd. Does it actually feel good when you're in the doggy style, giving it to me, and she reaches behind to fondle your balls?
No. No, dude, I don't need any. You can pretend like my balls aren't even around.
Yes.
As long as you're careful with them.
Yeah, I completely agree, as previously stated. I feel like oral is the more common scenario where there may be some ball fondling, but you're giving it to her doggy style and she's reaching around? I've never had somebody attempt that move. I don't even know if I've seen that in a porn. Where's this question coming from? You're bent over the woman and you're reaching behind to fondle his balls?
Oh, you know, when you have a water balloon and you, you know, squeeze it around. Some people like to have their balls hurt. Some people like to take kicks to the nuts. It gets them off.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody out there for everyone, obviously, but I would not say that's the norm.
Yeah, some of those guys that are into that sort of pain, that's crossing the threshold. Having a little bite, a little nipple twist or something, sure. But I would rather you stab me in the eyeball than have you like squeeze my nuts or something, let alone kick me there. No.
Stop it. I don't even like to think about it, dude.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's see. Next question. Women are asking men, how often do you masturbate as you get older? That's an interesting one. And I have a new caveat I have to throw on that one, too. So.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. You know, we have talked before the show of like, how often do you actually want sex? There's some male ingrained answer in my brain of like, every day, I want sex every day. But, you know, there was an experiment in my life where when my ex-wife and I were trying to get pregnant for the second time, first time happened very easily. And the second time we assumed would just happen easily and it didn't. So we dedicated 1 month. We're just going to have sex every single day. Like that seemed like the easy way to do it. And it did work. But after day like 20, 21, 20, I was like, I need a breather. This is becoming work. It's taken out the hotness of it to do it every day.
Yeah. Transactional.
Right. So my answer, and everyone's different, but I was like, you know, ideally learning what I've learned in life, like I want about 4 or 5 orgasms a week. And if I'm with my person every day, then obviously that's together. If it's not, I got to make up the gap. But I don't know what's going on. If I'm just catching up to my age, I mean, I'm turning 49 in this next week here. I have started to feel like I'm draining the tank a little. Like I have found my actual sex life to be better if I'm not tapping the keg prematurely on my own. Like wait for the party. Don't tap the keg early. I don't mean day of. I mean like the day or two before. Like things seem to be better nowadays if I just tap the keg the night of and leave it be elsewise.
You're talking about blowing ropes or energy tank?
Yeah, being able to actually blow rope, actually being able to finish the whole act. Okay. Like there are times I'm pushing myself a little further than should be. And then I've experimented like, all right, I'm not going to play with myself at all this week and just save myself for her. And things do seem to go a little better. So I don't know if it's age or what. But
when you say better, for you, for her, for both, and what, just the orgasm or the whole session?
For me and for orgasm.
Okay.
There are times, and you know, I always try to hold off the orgasm. I don't want to be done quickly. I want a whole act. And in the last few years of my life, I've realized like, you know, the longer I go, sometimes it's more of a concentrated effort. Like there are times where there have been times in sex where I just tell a woman, like, I don't think I'm going to come. Like I put it off so far that I don't know that I can get it back. And I've noticed that becoming harder and harder, no pun intended, later in the last, you know, year or so of my life. Okay. So my point is, I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's fitness. I don't know what it is, but I have started to dial back on the 4 or 5 day a week thing if I'm not with Kennedy.
What's your preferred now?
Preferred the number?
Yeah.
It's still about 4 or 5. But again, if we go extra hard a few nights in a row, like maybe I'll you know, take a night off or something. But I think that range is still pretty appropriate. But it's also rare that we're together 5 consecutive days. We usually have 2 or 3 days together and a few days off. And
okay.
different when you live with someone full time, you know?
Yeah, you've got libido that makes you still want to have sex 4 to 5 times a week, and I don't have that. I mean, I don't, it's twice a week, that's fantastic. If next week we do it once, that's fantastic. As long as we are still engaged, you know, I don't crave it as far as like, oh, I gotta do it, dude. I gotta do it.
See, that's, I think, the distinction, because mentally, I'm still a 22-year-old that wants it every day or 5 times a week or whatever. But yeah, I just feel like my body's starting to tell me, like, hey, dude, dial it back. Okay.
Yeah. So when you're orgasming and it looks like, you know, you're pushing a baby powder, like, whew, you know, there's nothing that comes out except a little dust. Right. You're going too hard, dude.
That's fair. So what did the men on this survey answer as to do you masturbate less the older you get? A guy once says, I'm married, and it's about once every 3 days or so on average, mostly when I'm bored and home alone. So I guess he's saying that's less. Guy number two says, every other day sometimes, twice a day other times. I think it's kind of seasonal. I'm in my late 30s. Twice a day, that's a lot.
Huh. I mean, I know there was a point in time in my life when that wasn't a lot, you know, but he's in his 30s. I mean, I've got a 21-year-old on him, you know, almost. So, yeah.
So here's a guy in his 50s. His answer, he literally starts off with the word sigh. So he says, sigh, every 2 to 3 days in my 50s, a couple per day in my 20s, a couple per day in my 20s, unless I was bored, then multiply it by 2 to 3 times. This guy.
Wow. See, dude, and that's something you need to think about, okay? What if our orgasms are like heartbeats? You know, people say, oh, your heart rate's really high. You know, you're going to die sooner because your heart's going to wear out. What if you are having too many orgasms and that's going to cut you off? Like, you already had your 20,000 orgasms, like no more for you.
Oof, that's a depressing thought. I mean, you're right. The human heart only has so many beats in its lifestyle. So how many beats do I have before I wear the machine out?
Something to think about, dude.
I think I might be starting to get there, so.
You need to think about your sessions as sponge-worthy or not, just like Elaine did on Seinfeld, dude. Like, is this a good time to do it? Is this a good time to cash in one of my chips?
That's a really good point, and some deep thinking I'm going to have to do. So.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got a few minutes left here. Let's bang through a few more questions. Again, these are questions that women are asking men for their honest answers. Does reverse cowgirl hurt? Am I bending your penis the wrong way? And guys are being nice by telling me they like it. I have a thorough answer for this one. So does reverse cowgirl hurt? First of all, do we all know what reverse cowgirl is?
Hopefully. I mean, yeah. And I think you know. If you've ever watched porn, even if you haven't had sex yet, you know what it is, right?
Well, you may visually know the position, but you know the term. So reverse cowgirl would be her on top, but she's facing away from you. Spun the other way.
Right. No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it hurts you if you have that Peyronie's or Peyronie's disease. You know, if your Johnson is crooked like a banana, like maybe that hurts. But I don't have it.
So I curve down, not dramatically. But, you know, this notion I've seen in porn or something, or like some scientific diagrams in high school, where a guy with an erect penis, his penis just sticks perfectly straight out.
Yeah.
I'm not like that. I angled down. Not dramatically. Although my ex-wife, years into our marriage, told me the first time I ever saw you naked, I wondered if something was wrong with you. And I was like, what? Like, what? Like, that traumatized me. And I've asked some other women, and they've said, like, no, I don't know what the hell she was talking about. But I naturally angled down. So I cannot go, I can go straight, but I can't go back. Like, going back, trying to angle my junk up towards my stomach or something, that can actually start to hurt. So I tend to not want a woman to be on top of me facing forward. If she tries to lean chest to chest on me, I could not do that. I've had women try, and it makes my toes cringe right now doing it because I can't bend that far the other direction. So reverse cowgirl, I actually prefer, because that's going with the angle the other direction.
Yeah, so maybe the answer is it just kind of depends where you curve, or if you curve, you know.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know. I do not have the peronies like some weird left, right, or angle or something. But yeah, my natural angle is down. So I would prefer we worked with that and not against it. So.
Yeah. Well, you just tell people, don't do it. Don't do it. I don't want chest-to-chest love, dude. I can't do it.
I like how you phrase that. Just tell people that they...
Right, dude.
It's a short list that I would need to explain to.
All right.
You ever had a woman on top? You pop out and she slams down on top of you?
It's happened. Ooh. Sure. Yeah. And it's not the best.
It's really not. I've heard about guys going to emergency rooms with quote-unquote broken penises from something like that. I heard about it on Loveline back in the day with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla, and I've been paranoid ever since. So.
I remember, dude. That's the first time on that Loveline, dude. That's the first time I ever knew, like, oh, you can break your dick? Yep, you can.
Right. Here's another good one. Women asking men, do you have the urge to moan during sexual activity and hold it back due to some societal BS? Or do you just not get that urge very much with women? I guess they're asking, like, do you moan on purpose? Or do you feel like you have to moan or something?
First of all, I don't know if I like the term moan for me, I'll say. I don't know that I moan. But I... Listen, this is the way I feel, is that... If I don't want you to just be quiet, so I imagine you probably would like to me to not be quiet. And that's not to say that I'm going to sit there and moan, but I'm going to let you know that I'm enjoying myself. And yeah, I'm not self-conscious about it, if that's the question.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think some level of moaning can be nonverbal communication. Like what you're doing feels good, as opposed to just using your words to say that. But there are times, especially when you get near the ultimate climax, where I don't think I can hold it back. I tend to roar like a lion when I finally finish climbing that mountain.
What do you mean? With a moan? With a, like an actual, like what I would envision a woman moaning like?
I think it's more of a primal groan. Like there's a lion roar that goes on there. It starts as a moan, but it ends up exploding by the end. And that's primal. I'm not doing it to show off or to convey any message at all.
You're telling me that you growl towards the end of orgasm.
Yeah. Something I would call it more of a groan than I would a moan.
Let me hear what, I want to hear it, dude. Oh, listen, tell me if I'm close. Okay. Like a, like that,
Hulk smash.
Yeah, like are you trying to scare off a bear?
Like there's at the end, like
you're victorious, right? Yeah, okay.
It's a primal release. There is a message though, or a topic of like how much communication goes on. Because again, I've been with some women that just want like dirty talk, like throughout the entire thing. Some that want a little, some that want none, some that want groaning in place of any verbal communication, some that just want silence. Like this, it really is a buffet. It depends what the person wants, and I'm willing to reciprocate whatever that is.
Have you ever taken your dirty talk to someone else too far? Like once it came out of your mouth, you were like, oh, that was, I thought that was going to be great. No, it wasn't.
Yes.
You have.
Yes.
Did you apologize or just move on from it?
I seem to recall just moving on. Although there was one woman where I said something about like where I felt I went too far, but then she was like, ooh, that's hot. I was like, what was it? It was something about daddy and little girl. Oh, yeah, you're a good little girl, aren't you, for daddy? And I was just like, that sounded terrible. And she was just like, oh, that's so hot. I'm like, I don't want to keep working that in. That felt wrong to me.
Yeah, let's tell you, that's a once in a while thing, dude. You can't do that all the time.
So no, I more freaked myself out than her, but yeah. All right, let's see. I think we got time for about one more here. Oh, this is a good one, actually, because I've had a question about this, and I have the answer. The question that the women were asking men is, how do we know if you like us romantically? And there's a song that, you know, that you and I know that we played on the radio station. I'm blanking on who the artist was, but don't mistake loneliness for love.
AJR.
But that notion of how do you not confuse love and lust, or loneliness for love, or, you know, like, how do you know if it's real versus, how do you know if it's love versus horniness?
Yeah. Yeah. You're asking me, I'll tell you, I think that for people, I mean, I'm with my wife for, you know, 16 plus years. So I would think that you would know the difference right after you came. Mm-hmm. Like, if you feel like you want to grab onto her and hold on, you know, and exchange love that way after sex, then you're probably in love, dude. If you don't, it was probably a lot of loneliness, you know?
Yeah. So this is something I've had to put thought into in my post-divorce years, because sometimes I wonder, like, wait, am I fooling myself? Like, am I just lonely? Is that why I think I'm in love with someone? And the answer I came to is basically what you just said. If you've orgasmed and you still want to hang out with a woman, it's love. If you pop the balloon and you're just like, get me the hell out of here, then no, you were just horny or lonely or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, if after sex you still want to hang out with the woman, then it's love. If you want to get the hell out of there, it was just horniness.
Even if you want to go get breakfast, you know, you may be having serious feelings for the person. But yeah, if you just want to leave, that was loneliness or lust, you know.
Yeah, it goes back to that one night stand mistake I made. As soon as I busted that nut, I wanted to get the hell away from her, out of that skanky apartment, go home and take a shower and scrub away the naughty. Like, it was so obvious that was an episode of horniness. Whereas any woman I actually care about afterwards, yes, I don't want to run out the door. I want to cuddle. I want to see you in the morning. I want to do this again. Like, it's pretty obvious if you ask me.
Here's the thing that I would love to ask women. If I can now ask women a question, I would like to know that, and to have you guys know and see if it's the same. Is it the same for you that when a guy gets horny, like when he's really horny, whether it's loneliness or just really horny, like I can look around the room and I see the perfect scenario. And then as soon as I start, even I'm not even done orgasming, the view of the room starts to change, and like, oh, now I see the dirty pile of clothes on the floor. Like, you know, when you're horny, you're in a palace wherever you are. That explains why people can have sex in bathrooms and clubs and stuff like that. You know,
you got the blinders on.
You got the blinders on. And I wonder, does a woman, I know they get that horny, but in the same way, we're like, yeah, I was seeing red and now I don't see it that way anymore.
I think that kind of woman probably does, who's just looking for a one-night stand or whatever. I mean, in love, if you're in just the throes of passion, you're probably not paying attention to whether the sheets are dirty or wherever. Like, yeah, but at some point that probably wears off. There's a difference between blinders and rose-colored glasses.
Tell me.
Blinders are bad. That just means you're ignoring reality. You just want the horniness. Looking at someone through rose-colored glasses is what you're supposed to do when you're in love. You're supposed to see the glass half full and the optimism and view them a little differently than you would view anyone else. So it's still the horniness versus love distinction, though. The blinders versus glasses.
You're right, dude. That makes a lot of sense. Because when you are truly in love with somebody, then you look at their flaws, quote unquote, in a whole different way, right?
Yeah. Everyone looks at their own body differently than anyone else looks at, you know, look at your body differently than you look at yours. And I have often said that I am so blinded by the parts of you that I love and adore. Like, I don't see the crow's feet, the wrinkles, little cellulite here and there. Like, I'm enamored with all of the other fun parts. So don't overthink it. I'm focused on the good. I'm tuning out the bad, I assure you.
It's good advice. Good advice. And you don't even know, dude, some things that I know sometimes Rachel will tell me something she's self-conscious about, and I will literally think, like, that's one of the things that I think is so hot about you. Like, that's weird. You know, that weirds me out that, you know, you're self-conscious about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we do all see each other differently.
Very true. Well, I hope people have learned something from this episode. We gave our good guy answers, weigh them against the survey answers there.
We learned that you sound like the Incredible Hulk when you orgasm, dude.
Lion. I think it's more of a lion.
More of a lion, okay.
Incredible Hulk's kind of angry. A lion is more,
triumphant.
Yes, triumphant. Yeah. There you go. Raw animal passion.
Perfect. All right. Well, we appreciate you listening to the podcast. Call our comment line, dude. 844-48-VOCAL. Leave a comment on the show, good or bad.
And leave a comment in the comment section on the social media. Follow us on TikTok, Reddit, YouTube. Blue Sky's great, the Facebook stuff, and wherever else you find good content, you'll find us. We'll be there.
And we'll see you next time.
What's up, bitches? It's your boy, Joe Rogan. Thanks for checking out Nick and Steve and the Vocal Minority. The boys give you two podcasts each and every week. If you like my podcast, you're going to love these guys. This is my official personal endorsement. Please be a champion and blow these guys up.